vessels. Elmshaven, St. Helena, California, September 3, 1903. Dear Brother John J. Vessels, I received your letter this morning. I am much pleased that you have written so freely. I am also much encouraged by what you write in regard to your brothers. I am well aware of the reasons why your brother Philip fell into the condition in which he has been. While he was in Battle Creek, some things occurred that were of such a nature as to make an evil impression upon his soul. He was taken unawares by the enemy. The Lord instructed me that the seeds of evil which were sown in his heart at Battle Creek would bring forth a harvest unless he zealously kept his soul in the love of Christ. I have hoped, and still hope, that Philip will yet be imbued with the Spirit of Christ and become one with him. Through varied experiences, his life has been spared. I feel a most earnest desire that he should return to the Lord, and that he may now do a work that God desired him to be doing all these years. But he cannot do the work of the Lord by halves. God would have him take his stand firmly for Christ, believing in him, receiving him. As many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. John 1, verse 12. The language of our hearts should be, O Lord, righteousness belongeth unto thee, but unto us who have departed from thy counsel, confusion of faces. Daniel 9, verse 7. What answer can we render to thee? And how shall we be justified before thee? We will return unto thee, for thy hand is stretched forth to help the penitent, who seek thee with the whole heart. For thy mercy's sake, thou hearest their cries. Poor, helpless, and needy, we come to thee, not because of our righteousness, but for thy righteousness' sake, O Lord. We beseech thee not to send us away empty. Our souls, our bodies, are thy property. Thou hast bought us with a price, not because we are worthy, but for the sake of thine own Son. Strengthen us, that we may put on the garment of thy righteousness. Thou art gracious and merciful. If thou, Lord, shouldest mark iniquities, O Lord, who shall stand? But there is forgiveness with thee, that thou mightest be feared. For with thee is the fountain of life. In thy light shall we see light. Psalm 130, verse 3, 4, 36, 9. All thy works shall praise thee. Let all thy creatures worship before thy face. May thy people be united to do thy will, and to seek thee with the whole heart. Give honor unto thy people, praise to them that fear thee, and honor to them that seek thee. Fill the mouths of them that hunger for thy righteousness. Give joy unto thy land and gladness unto thy city. The Lord shall reign forever, even thy God, O Zion, unto all generations. Psalm 146, verse 10. Let the horn of thy servant David be exalted, and may the light of the son of Jesse shine upon thy people. To those who have made strange paths for their feet, the Lord offers words of encouragement. He will accept their prayers, if they will repent and be converted. Through the infinite sacrifice of Christ, and through faith in his name, they may receive the promises of God. The sons of Adam may become sons of God. Oh, how full of thankfulness we should be that by the act of Christ in assuming humanity, fallen men are granted a second trial. Christ places them on vantage ground. Through connection with him, they may be laborers together with God. Through the grace given daily by Christ, they may be elevated and ennobled to become the sons and daughters of God. Such love is without a parallel. Jesus asks for perfect obedience. There must be thorough, practical work. Daily, we are to increase in the knowledge of the divine will. Christ will impart his Spirit to all who will unitedly labor in humility. Ye are not your own, for ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 19, 20. What a price was paid to redeem the fallen race! Should not every soul enter into the service of God, seeking to improve on the talents that have been entrusted to him, that they may be returned to God with usury? Come unto me, says Jesus, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. And in learning and practicing these lessons, ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Matthew 11, verse 28 to 30. If we would live a Christian life, we must constantly cooperate with God, losing self in dependence upon Jesus Christ. Every day we should work as for eternity. Man was made a little lower than the angels. Yet when he shall be purified and translated to the heavenly courts, he will be even more privileged than the angels.
All that your brothers and sisters need, all that any of us need, is to live a humble Christian life, revealing in character the strength received from Jesus Christ through union with him. We are to live up to all the light we receive. United with Christ, we shall be laborers together with God. The light of Christ's righteousness will be imparted to us, if we will impart that light to those who know not God, exerting over unbelievers an influence for good. Christ has said, "Ye are the light of the world. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." Matthew 5, verse 14, 16. If John, Peter, Philip, Henry, Francis, Annie, Dan, and Andrew will only let their light shine as the Lord has let his light shine upon them, they may do a great work for the Lord Jesus. Will you not now take up the work? Is not the future, eternal life, a sufficient inducement to lead you to do this? Will not you, with your mother, unitedly seek to know what the Lord would have you to do? You may do a work that is as lasting as eternity. Through you may be seen the miracle-working power of God. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God which worketh in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Philippians 2, verse 12, 13. You may preserve your individuality and yet have your life so blended with the life of Christ that you will be one with him, reconciled to God through the obedience and death of his Son. In this life, every soul must make decisions that will determine his destiny in the future life. The grace of Jesus Christ bringeth salvation. When you make an entire surrender and become Christ's little children, you will be able to say, "Thy gentleness hath made me great." Psalm 18, verse 35. To every soul who receives him, Christ manifests his gentleness, tenderness, and love. He longs to have you love and obey him, that you may be eternally happy in his everlasting kingdom. He would have you disappoint the devil, who is seeking for the mastery of your life, that he may take control of your character building. You cannot afford to allow the enemy to have dominion over you. Christ longs to bring you back to him, that he may give to you eternal life and the abundance of the glory of an unfallen world. He desires to kindle in your hearts the divine hope that, by becoming partakers of the divine nature, even at this late hour, you may escape the corruption that is in the world through lust.
Every soul is precious in the sight of God. But little time is left us in which to prepare for the eternal world. Waste not one moment. Separate yourselves from the world. Come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord. And touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith who? The Lord Almighty. 2 Corinthians 6, verse 17, 18. Bring your rebellion against God to an end, and return to allegiance to your ruler. May the Lord bless the sons and daughters of Mother Wessels, and those related to them by marriage.